up, everyone? It's Journey to the West. I'm V, and I'm here with Jay.
Hey, I'm Jay.
And I'm here with Sen.
Hey, everyone, I'm Sen.
And Wen is back. Say hi, Wen.
Hi, everyone.
So today's topic we're discussing on our pod is internalized racism. In a nutshell, I wrote an article about it back earlier this month, and it's basically, what do you call someone who is a minority within where they live, who subscribes to the dominant society or the majority society's ideals and way of thinking, way of living, way of acting, and etc. So in this case, in the US, for example, the society is basically powered, like the systematic people who are favored in this society is white European people or European passing people. When someone who is a non-European passing person or non-white tries to, one, act a certain way, act white, or help white people in keeping their power alive and rigging the game, they are what we call internalized racists. So, anything you want to add on, Jay?
Yeah, basically, people who have internalized racism internalize that there's this racial hierarchy in which whites are superior. And this can be expressed in all kinds of ways. For instance, you can believe in racial stereotypes. You can be really into adapting to white cultural standards or the way that white people want you to act. And denying that racism exists, things like that. So today we're going to talk about why internalized racism is a bad thing and help people identify what it looks like. Because there are many different subtypes or brands of internalized racism that we've tried to put a name to. And hopefully that'll help everybody get an idea of what that's like.
So let's begin. Why is it a big deal? Okay, let's cut straight to the point. It's a big deal because if you're enabling, you know, white European, like, dominance, you're kind of contributing to people not being able to get jobs, provide for their families, not being able to get the chances to be happy. You're basically, and also affects their social life, romance, media. It just, overall, white supremacy, like, really impacts every form of life. And if you wanted me to get really, really deep and intense, I'll tell you the truth. Someone once, a very prominent, I think, user in the Instagram community posted about mica. Mica is found in our lipsticks and all that, but the point I'm trying to make here is this. Because white supremacy demands and consumes a lot, like it's as simple as just buying your favorite lipstick, if you contribute to that, you're contributing to child labor, unequal practices, hazardous working conditions, climate change, everything really, because of white European colonialism. Let's be real, okay? Why else would someone be working in the farms in like Vietnam or something to make American skincare products? It contributes to greater inequality. That's why internalized racism is a big deal, because if you're siding with the oppressor, you're basically contributing to that inequality.
Yeah, basically internalized racism not only harms yourself, but it also harms other people who are oppressed by white supremacy. And as V gave the example of the exploitation of labor and resources in other countries, this is a pervasive thing. It's really hard to put a name to white supremacy, and we talk about it a lot. But basically, the elites who are in control of pretty much everything, whether that's politics, government, heads of CEOs of companies, they run entertainment, they run industries all over the world. It's a global phenomenon that hurts pretty much everybody who isn't a part of that elite, wealthy, white group. So we might not think we're contributing to that when we exhibit internalized racism, but we most certainly are. And if you don't care about hurting yourself, fine, but like at least don't do any harm to other people or don't enable that harm to happen.
If you had to paint a picture, it's like a white person giving you a gun, and instead you take the gun and you shoot yourself in the foot and everyone else around you because you exude a sort of negative mentality against your own culture and against other people around you. And it can be very like small and seemingly insignificant, but we'll go into this a bit later, but it makes a certain mindset really prevalent, and it makes it so that your approach to life and social situations are always compromised, and you're always, you know, trying to pander to whites and be very, you're kind of like a puppet in essence.
To me, I guess I always thought that the meaning of it would be just pretty much the people person was just accepting the, you know, the negative stereotypes that's always been perpetuated, and then just not doing anything about it, or just willingly, you know, letting us, like, I guess they're just letting themselves be, you know, the whipping boy of everyone else, even though they're just lowering themselves, and, you know, everyone else as well, they're just, like, lowering themselves. It's like, yeah, okay, for yourself, yeah, sure, but, you know, for the others, you're still, like, just gonna, like, just make it worse. And then I swear that no one's going to show, they don't have to show any respect, because you're just letting them.
Okay, so what happens if we don't deal with it?
It's an attitude. So it's not like a single action and it just stops and nothing happens. Like, you continue to engage in this behavior. You influence others around you by saying that it's okay to act this way, which is not good. It's basically like social toxicity, that anybody you're around with, you infect them with this ideology, and you tell them it's okay to be harmful to yourself and to other people in the name of protecting or supporting white people, or you're oppressor, and that's fucked up.
Now let's open to the floor. How the heck are you supposed to spot internalized racism?
Okay, I guess we can start with some archetypes. Just dive in. Maybe it makes more sense to get into the really obvious ones. So one that might be familiar to a lot of people, we'd like to call the punchline Asian. A lot of them are really, they could be either prominent public figures, comedians, or they could be the Asian friend who makes a lot of self-deprecating jokes for a non-Asian audience. Either way, they're constantly demeaning themselves based on their race for the entertainment of non-Asian people. Notable examples might include, let's see,
Ken Jeong.
Yeah, a lot of people are familiar with him. I know a lot of people love him, but also his portrayal of that caricature of an Asian man in The Hangover has led to Asian kids being bullied in schools. And when that was pointed out to him, he was like, tough luck, basically, that he's not responsible for it. But you are, basically. Your actions don't exist in a vacuum. People think it's okay to treat Asians this way because you gave them the permission to do so. And I think it's important to take responsibility for that, even if it's not your intention.
Well, he made a buttload of cash on that, so he doesn't give a shit. I mean, as much as we want to put a certain, like, oh, he didn't have that intention, it doesn't matter at this point. And the fact that he refuses to even acknowledge that he played a huge part, or not even just the huge part, he was the sole person pushing for that image, is like really disgusting.
Yeah, I remember reading about how the character wasn't originally supposed to act that way, that, or at least to the extent that it was shown in those films, that he suggested going naked and like really pushing it to the limit, which is really disappointing.
Well, I don't even think that a lot of like the white writers who, you know, wrote the movie would even dare to write some really racist shit. It's kind of like he gives them the permission to do it.
In a nutshell, just because you're marginalized doesn't mean you get to be excused if you enable the problem. Okay, guys.
Oh, another thing. It's like, I know it sounds crazy, but the punchline Asian is literally the person that goes, "I have a small dick. Oh, look at my chinky eyes." Or like, you know, those people that just call themselves chinks around their friends and go, "It's okay. Like, they call me chink because I'm their chink," or something. Like, I'm like, what the fuck? Like, so you're basically allowing these white people and others to call you my chink as if they own you or some shit. Like, and I know people go, it's a joke, it doesn't matter. But the fact that they can call you chink, they'll just go out and call everyone else chink. There's no boundaries.
I remember, was it years ago? It's like, I had a friend who, I don't remember exactly which kind of punchline she said, but I remember it just kind of blew me off a bit when I was there. So when I mentioned to her, that's kind of a, you know, when you're just kind of like a terrible thing to say, it's kind of racist in a way, like one of those typical, those kind of jokes. And then I remember her telling me was that, "It's okay, I'm half Asian." I was like, really?
And in a nutshell, that's the punchline Asian. And we've had other anecdotes or other like types of Asians we like to call out. There's the fatalistic Asian, aka my Asian parents this, my Asian parents that kind of Asian. Let's kind of debunk that in a little bit. In a nutshell, these people complain about their Asian parents being problematic, but it's like it could be attributed to any parent really, or immigrant parent for a while. I mean, I know plenty of white people who abuse their children anyway, but you don't hear them going, "Why am I parent this?" It's like, it's always Asian people. And I'm just like, do you hate yourselves or something?
Yeah, there's a difference between talking about something like, this is a problem in our community. For instance, alcoholism is a problem in our community. But if you racialize it, like, Asian alcoholism is a problem because they're Asian. And not because it just happens to be a thing that happens in our community. That's racist. You're ascribing race to this negative thing when it can happen to pretty much anybody. There's an entire sub on Reddit actually dedicated to Asian parent stories, our Asian parent stories. And it's basically a bunch of diaspora kids complaining about their parents and saying that it's their race, that the fact that they're Asian, that is the problem. That's why that they're bad parents, when in fact it is narcissistic parenting. Could be a cycle of violence in the family that's just being repeated by your own parents. But these things aren't unique to Asians. There are plenty of families of other races who have these problems too.
So I have like an anecdote about fatalistic Asians, because I had a classmate who was like Viet. She was a bit of a weeaboo. She would constantly talk about her Asian parents and talk about her Asianness as if it is the sole contributor of all the bad things that happened in her life. So, typical Asian parent complaining. And she would complain all day, incessantly. It got really annoying. Even the other Asians around us were like, what the hell's wrong with her? But I remember this particular incident during form class, or I guess you guys call it homeroom, where she was doing her little rants about her mom. And like, to be fair, her parents were like kind of abusive and physically violent, even at her age, and she was like 16 at the time. But anyway, so she complained, and then I think one of my white friends was like also sharing some like parent stories about her dad being like deadbeat, loser, alt-right, racist, whatever. And then she went, but you wouldn't survive as an Asian because my parents are so bad. They're so much worse. And she just like, but you wouldn't survive. You wouldn't survive. And like all of us were like, what the hell's wrong with her? Like, we were just sitting here. Like if she was talking about like her parents, of course that would be egocentric. But like you don't respond to someone talking to you about their parents with like that. It was just kind of insane. I just thought she was like,
that's like narcissistic, right?
I know. She had so much issues. I could go on a whole like rant about her, but that's not the pod for it. But it just like really highlighted to me like what is wrong with your mentality that you think that your Asianness is the problem. Like your parents are the problem. Your parents are abusive and they're terrible fucking people. Like you could say that part of it is Asian culture, you know, but my mom doesn't hit me. I know plenty of Asian parents that don't hit their kids or are abusive at all. So at what point do you say that it's a culture thing and when it's not? Like, it's just stupid.
Sorry, but there's plenty of white parents who do the same.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't you calling them out? Mm-hmm. I don't know, because I do get a little... it is unfortunate because there's a lot of girls who deal with abusive parents and guys too. What to do? Anything? Any anecdotes, Wen?
Like my brother and I guess we had like a friend. I guess I think we met him like through another friend because, you know, we all were into like, it was like another friend we met, and I remember he would always complain about his Asian parents quite often and complain on things, and my brother and I didn't even think about it too much as much, but I remember. Like, he would always complain about that. And I remember, like, one time my brother, I think he had to go near that state, and he was passing through, so he visited my friend. So he did stay at my friend's house, like, you know, for about, like, a day before he had to go. And, you know, of course, my brother met his parents. And I think later my brother told me, like, for someone who always complains about it, about his parents, it's like my brother said that, you know, his parents are just like our parents, just a little bit younger, and they're probably more successful at business than ours were. And we're just thinking, you know, he's probably most likely just exaggerating things. And it's just, I think it's just his attitude. He most likely has the attitude of, I do what I want. And it's like, yeah, it's probably not going to fly with your parents. Because our parents are like that too. You can't just, you know, say you just do what you want and do all these things. It's just had to be like, you can do things just within reason, which I'm pretty sure he kind of didn't do that. You know, when you do things like, you know, do within reason, man. Or at least don't be sneaking behind your parents' back, you know, doing things. That's why they're probably, I don't know, probably like, you know, quite talking down on you or something. It's like, it's just whatever the way he's doing things. It's like, it's all on you, man. And you're just always going on to rant about your Asian parents doing this and that. It's like, yeah, it's probably because you weren't very honest about things and you're just sneaking around doing that.
In a nutshell, I'd say the fatalistic or my Asian parents, this kind of Asian, is one that I have to... I don't want to downplay their experiences, but at the same time, some of them racialize it, and that's a problem, so... Next on our list, we have the race-bending Asian, aka the anything-but-Asian Asian. Who are they? They are typically those who do anything to distance themselves from being Asian, like Chloe Kim being like, I'm not Asian-American, I'm just American. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what's that about? We know you're American, but there's nothing wrong with being ethnically Asian. What's the deal?
I really like the name for this one. Sen came up with it, by the way. But it kind of speaks for itself. Like, you refuse to acknowledge that you're Asian.
The problem with race-bending Asians is they live in a sort of delusion where they just think that we're all human beings. Race is a construct. Like, and I'm like, that doesn't even make sense for you, because especially with in light of like events like deportation, you know, racist attacks, they just want to pretend that they're basically white and they roll in white circles mostly. They tend to tokenize themselves in white groups. They see you from across the room, and like we talked about in the White Freeze podcast, they don't want to associate with you. And yeah, they just don't want to associate with Asian-ness and Asian people.
Yeah, being colorblind does not erase the consequences of race, of being racialized, and of racism. So it was super ridiculous.
They're also the types who just do that around any non-Asian group, period. Because, like, they think they're being Asian not cool. Let's just be real about that. I see them hanging out with other...
Well, hence we use race bending, because they just, like, they just want to run away from anything Asian.
Oh, not to mention when they, like, want to be woke or all that. To me, they're faux woke. There's a lot of race bending Asians who are faux woke and in the academic, like, social justice kind of circle. But I find them to be really, like, ingenuine. That's what I like to call them. They're not real. They're not real. They're kind of fake. And yeah, pretty bad, vapid people.
I think that actually bleeds into the model minority, which we'll talk about later.
You know what? Any anecdotes, Wen? If not, we'll go to model minority.
I'm trying to think if I have another, story. I don't know if this would tie into model minority as well. But I do remember... I would hear this all the time from my mom, you know, when we talk about others. Like, the worst, it's like, it almost sounds so ridiculous when you hear it. Like, basically, this guy, he would always brag about his kids by saying that, my children are already like white people already. They're not, nothing to do with, like, you know, Chinese or anything. We don't celebrate the Chinese holidays or anything like that, and all that kind of thing. And it's like, you know, sir, you're probably lucky that they're pretty much did fine in school and they're doing the good, you know, have good jobs and getting paid quite well. And it's kind of just sounds so very, really, just so ridiculous and very sad that you would say something like that. And it's like, it's just, it's almost hypocritical, though, is that it's like, yeah, you say you don't celebrate anything with the Chinese holidays, anything like that, but yet you'll still celebrate, you know, you'll still, you know, pray to, like, which gods were they? Like the ones that for, like, you know, the gods for, you know, hoping for good fortune. It's like, yeah, you'll celebrate those things for your own, you know, self-benefit. But yeah, for someone who kept saying that, I don't celebrate any holidays, it's like, sure you don't. Sure. But... it is like one of those things where he would say that, and it just sounds so ridiculous that you would say that, because it's like, yeah, well, for one thing, they're not white. You don't have anything from there. You're fully Asian.
Yeah. So in general, mono minority Asian is those who think that they're better than you because they're the upstanding, I'm a good citizen example kind of Asian. Those who are assimilationists. The assimilationists, I'm the good Asian. Oh, I'm not like the rest of those Asians, Asian.
They're the, I'm the good Asian.
I don't know if I have any anecdotes about them, but like, I think some of my family members kind of act that way. But to be fair, they're like first 1.5 gen Viet Americans. But yeah, Viet Americans, I'm not saying all, but like my family in particular, they're kind of that way. They kind of think anyone who who isn't like doing well in life is just because they're lazy, you know, those kind of people. Jay, want to add on?
What comes to mind is this video I saw, I think it was last year, of this Asian guy in a car who was trying to park in the street, and he had his car full of his white buddies who were filming this, and he was basically harassing a Filipino guy for his parking spot. He was lawfully parked there, but this Asian dude, who was obviously second gen, seemed kind of bougie because he was dressed well and his car looked a little more expensive comparatively. Basically went up to the guy and was honking at him and rolled down the window and screamed, go back to your own fucking country. And shouted racial slurs at him and all of this shit. And Of course, his white friends were eating this up. They were laughing. They thought it was hilarious. And in the end, the driver was aware that he was doing this just to manipulate the other Asian man out of his own parking spot. And he got it, which sucks. But that's a really good example of this kind of person who thinks that he's better than all the other Asians and is doing this basically for the entertainment of white people and self-enrichment.
Man, that's like so shit. I'm not saying I advocate for violence, but I would have blown up his car or some shit.
Yeah. Any anecdotes then?
I don't really think I have like direct anecdotes, but I kind of hate the mentality of a lot of like second gen Asians where they buy into the whole model minority. So all they care about is studying all day. And I remember I would be in class and they'd be like, "What'd you get? What'd you get?" Like all the fucking time. I'm like, calm down, bro. Like, they're just so in this mindset of like competing with the, like with you and with everyone else. It was so annoying. And when I looked at, say, the white nerds, they just didn't care that much, you know? Like, they're just like, oh, I got this mark, okay, whatever. And they just be over it. But for us, it's like this constant competition between each other and like one-upping each other. I'm just like, just so annoyed by those people.
Imagine if we actually helped each other out and helped each other study so that we could all get good marks on the same exam.
I remember there'd be these dudes and then like you'd ask them for help and they just wouldn't do it. Okay, to be fair, like sometimes they would, a lot of people would ask like really last minute. So it's like, what do you expect them to do overnight? But they would just be so like, you ask for my help? And I'm just like, oh, fuck you then. I'll just fucking get a D on this.
When anecdotes?
Well, because every time I think of the model minority, all I can think of is like, you ever knows how, you have like the parent, like parents from, like, with other parents, they like to brag about how successful, like, you know, like their kids are, you know, it's that competition between each other, between parents or, you know, families like that. But you always gotta know, like, oh, how did you graduate yet? Did you graduate yet? And it's funny how you would hear other people say that, you know, how, oh, school is like a marathon, not a race. And yeah, you're just like, yeah, but these parents don't understand that. Everybody, you had to graduate, you know, at this certain time, at this time range right here, right? At this age range right here, and at this in a certain period of time, and you had to know like, oh, what's their major and all that stuff. Are they making lots of money? And oh, what school did they go to? Ew, you went to like, they went to a community college. They must be stupid. They shouldn't, you know, why do you even go to school? And it's like, what do you expect? Then you complain about them not making money, and all that other stuff. It's just like one of those things where you can't win. And it's like, and it's always like into the business of like, oh, it's like how successful, and that's about it. And it's like the worst is like, I'm pretty sure it's either they probably don't say anything until after their kid is successful. Then you start bragging and bragging. And I'm pretty sure if you have like their kids is like probably not as successful in their eyes, they just leave them out and don't say anything. But you'll just, you know, brag about whichever other kid that has, like, you know, that got all the whatever, that all that checklist.
Let's get to the last one, which is the alt-right. Who are these people? These are the scary people. These are the alt-right people are those who just cause problems, systematic problems, and just like they're contributing actively to white supremacy.
Yeah, I think we could also loop them into the broader category of being white apologist Asians, because that can range from the really extreme, which would be people who sympathize with the alt-right, go to Proud Boy rallies, are actively dating or married to white supremacists, known white supremacists, the Tila Tequilas, the Political Kathys, the... Elaine Chao's of this world, unfortunately. Yeah. Don't do that. I mean, this is extremely harmful because not only do they have the attitude of sympathizing with white racists, but they're also involved politically and are actually supporting these people get power to impose their racism on others.
No offense, but it's usually the women. I don't know, just like there's so many of them, I can't even begin to count. It's kind of embarrassing. And they're usually those who also vote Republican in elections.
It is embarrassing. Because if you look at any other woman of color, we're the only ones disproportionately married to a lot of well-known Republicans or, alt-right Nazis. And it's like, when people bring this up to me, which I've done to people and people have done to me, I'm just like, I don't even know how to explain this, because it's embarrassing.
And granted, there are Asian men who do this too. I can name people like Hank Yu. There's a YouTuber who goes by the name Chris Worski. These are all people who, again, hold up white supremacy too, but they aren't really in positions of power and influence in the same way that Asian women can be.
They're peons.
Yeah. So it's a different level. I mean, it's still contributing. It's still harmful, and we should call that out. But it's a slightly different situation, unfortunately. Which kind of leads us to the more subtle version of white apology. So you don't have to be an alt-righter to still be sympathetic toward white supremacy and white hegemony. Because all you need to do is internalize, as we said in the beginning, internalize this racial hierarchy that places whites at the top. So this can be expressed in more subtle ways. For instance, when there's a crime and it involves a white person and a non-white person, your instinct will probably be to defend the white person and to condemn the non-white person, regardless of what happened, no matter if there was any evidence to support an actual conclusion or something, you will default to defending the white person no matter what.
And often they do this masked as like, oh, I'm just trying to be fair. I'm just trying to be fair. And like, if we lived in a world where racism didn't exist and like there wasn't white supremacy, then yes, that would be the logical conclusion. But because the way society is like built, it favors white people and it always gives them the benefit of the doubt and they are always the individuals.
Mm-hmm.
You can't even begin to talk about why, like saying not all white people or white people can be victims of racism too is not a problem, because it is.
It's also telling that a lot of the time, the same people who will be the first to come out and defend white people whenever something potentially racist happens are the same people who are nowhere to be found when people of color are being wrongfully accused of crimes. Whether that's police brutality or, being put into prison without any evidence, things like that. They're not there when it really counts. They're only there for white people. And that's a problem.
So punchline Asian is basically, I have a small dick, I have small eyes. And they think that their entire existence is a joke. That is what they are. So fatalistic Asian is, my entire existence is shit because I'm Asian and my parents are shit and everything shit. Okay, that's fatalistic Asian.
And then race bending
Asian. I'm basically white. What is race? Race is just a construct. And they don't think they're Asian either. So that's a problem. Model minority is basically, I'm the good Asian. I'm better than those other Asians. Alt-right Asian basically votes Trump. Basically Nazis. Wants to be white but can't be white, so they just settle for being minions. White apologist is like the lower tier level where they didn't go like fully stupid, but they basically just come into conversations to say not all white people, and white people can be victims of racism too, and all that. So the thing is, I'm pretty sure there's a person that somehow encapsulates all of these qualities. And again, I don't advocate for violence, but I want to throw them into the ocean to drown, and hopefully, and yell natural selection, because I just hope they no longer exist.
But see, the problem with that is, what if a white savior comes along in a raft to fish them out?
Oh my god. Okay, I guess a volcano will have to do.
Just see to get eaten by fish, okay?
Okay, so we're gonna get to the conclusion of this pod right now with...
Alright, what do we do about this? How do I identify, and what do we do about this?
Number one, if they start saying, my Asian this, cut them off and be like, okay, why are you bringing that up? You have to call them out on the spot. I've had to do it with few people before. It's uncomfortable, but better to do it now than later.
Yeah, it's important to challenge it when you see it. Sometimes the time and place is not necessarily convenient, but you can always bring it up later. Because if you care about people, you don't want them to go around carrying this with them and acting on it, you know? So I hope that everybody found this pod both informative and entertaining. And I hope that you'll be inspired to call it out when you see it.
I also hope that this isn't some kind of like, well, they're just victims. And I'm like, we're all adults. We have to take responsibility for what we say, what we put out there, and the racist shit that proliferates because we enable it. So, yeah, we can sit around in a circle and cry about it, but I would ideally like to think about it as tough love and, you know, call them out, tell them their shit, and hopefully they'll humble themselves into... I don't even want them to be better people because I feel like that's impossible sometimes, but just shut up. Maybe that's a bit more practical.
Just don't make things worse.
I think you just need to just say something about it. You know, just point out to it, you know. At least, I don't know if it would help or not, but at least, you know, hopefully it'll maybe get them thinking. That, like, yeah, they should just stop it, man. Stop.
Or I could call it the ladies and say, white fever. Okay, just kidding. All right, we're JTTW. You can find us at JTTW Podcast at Twitter. And Jay?
Thanks for listening. I'm J_MARAAN on Twitter.
And Sen?
Thanks for listening. I'm Sen. You can find me on Twitter at SEN_TINT on Twitter.
And Wen, who does not have a social media account, but please say bye.
All right, bye, everyone.
Bye, everyone. Thanks for listening.